6. Hiccup's bodyguard has a busy time. Stoic rather regretted hiring Humongous over the next couple of weeks. Everybody, including Hiccup, seemed to think he was absolutely marvellous. He autographed axes, spears, favourite dragons, even Baggy Bum's famous beer belly.
"Even his writing is humongously cool," sighed Baggy Bum,
gazing down at the stylish scrawl on his tummy.
"I'll never wash again."
"Did you ever?"
grunted Stoic, thinking, "Who does this humongous guy think he is?" And that was the other thing. Everybody normally followed Stoic's lead where it came to fashion. That meant the beard was worn au naturel in a tremendous tangly mess the size of a large and complicated bird's nest that had recently been attacked by a weasel. The hole was then decorated with a lavish sprinkling of food droppings. Suddenly, everybody was appearing with their beards immaculately groomed, just like Humongous's, and the ends of their moustaches elaborately twiddled and coaxed in pretty little curls. And Stoic strongly suspected they were washing, not to mention doing up their shirt buttons and polishing their helmets till they shone.
"What have you done to your beard?"
Stoic demanded of a rather guilty-looking gobber whose haystack had turned into a riot of ringlets overnight. Gobber blushed.
"Oh, this," said Gobber carelessly. "It's just the latest fashion, you know, more heroic. Everybody's doing it."
"Well, you all look ridiculous," blustered Stoic.
But what he found by far the most difficult part of the whole bodyguard business was that Hiccup seemed to look up to Humongous so much. It was all Humongous this and Humongous that nowadays. Indeed, Hiccup did admire Humongous. Here was a hero a cut above the usual uncouth barbarian. His fighting wasn't just the usual loutish bonking on the head, but stylish, elegant, graceful. He taught Hiccup the flash thrust with twist thingamy and showed him how to tie an opponent into elaborate and beautiful knots, while at the same time courteously inquiring about the state of their health. But Humongous was causing Hiccup the odd little difficulty. Not his fault, of course, but there it was. Hiccup's general practice on the pirate training programme was to try and blend into the background and hope that nobody noticed him. But this is difficult if an exceptionally good-looking 6'7" internationally renowned hero is following two steps behind you with his sword drawn and shouting,
"Make way for Hiccup Horrendous Haddock III, only son of the chief!"
And there were other problems. Gobber allowed the boys a bit of time off to recover from their herding reindeer and dragonback lesson, and then it was back to the normal programme a day or so later, and an axe fighting with art lesson. The strange weather had, if anything, got even hotter. How hot could it get? It was like standing in the middle of an oven. The boys stood in a straggly line in front of Gobber, scratching their bottoms and sweating profusely. Above them towered Huge Hill, like a bad omen, its lower half alive with trees and ferns, its upper half a scalded desert, as bald and nude as Gobber's still helmetless and now very sunburnt head. When Gobber the Belch asked for volunteers to fight Snotface Snotlout, there was a stony silence among the boys. Snotlout was horribly good at axe fighting, and he was a terrible cheat who tended to kick you in the ankles with his specially sharpened sandals when Gobber wasn't looking. So imagine Hiccup's horror when Humongous stepped forward, shouting out,
"I volunteer Hiccup Horrendous Haddock III, only son of Chief Stoic the Vast, oh hear his name and tremble, ugh, ugh."
"Shh," begged Hiccup, "please, pipe down."
"Excellent idea," bellowed Gobber happily. "Hiccup is fighting Snotlout then."
"Oh, for Thor's sake," groaned Hiccup miserably.
"What did you do that for?"
hissed Fishlegs.
"You're his bodyguard. You're supposed to be looking after him, not serving him up to his enemies on a plate."
"What are you talking about?" said Humongous in surprise. "He's the son of a chief. The hot fighting blood of the Horrendous Haddocks runs raging through his veins. He could take this guy Snotlout with one flick of his regal fingernails.
I don't know if you've noticed, said Fishlegs, but Snotlout is nearly twice his size. He's as mean as a hornet with a grudge, and he hates Hiccup.
Oh, I do, grinned Snotlout, cracking his knuckles. Snotlout happened to be the son of Baggy Bum the Beer Belly, who was Stoic the Vast's brother. This meant that if something were to happen to Hiccup, some tragic accident, say, the next in line to the throne would be Snotface Snotlout. Snotlout thought that he would make an excellent chief of the Hairy Hooligan tribe.
Oh, come on! This Snotlout guy is pitifully weedy, snorted Humongous loudly.
This was unlike Humongous, for he was normally very polite.
Toothless been saying that for years,
broke in Toothless excitedly, for he loved a good fight. Keep it down, please, begged poor Hiccup, for Snotlout was hearing all this, and an even more spiteful look was coming into his eyes than normal.
You'll smoosh this guy into the floor and have him begging for mercy, Hiccup, cried Humongous.
Let's just see who is going to be doing the begging, snarled Snotlout from between gritted teeth and rolling up his sleeves. The boys practiced their axe fighting with wooden axes in order to try and reduce the mortality rate. But somehow, Humongous, who was helping Gobber by handing out the weapons, made matters even worse by handing Snotlout a real axe instead of the wooden one. Both Snotlout and Hiccup realised this halfway through the fight, when Snotlout's axe collided with Hiccup's shield and, instead of bouncing off it, cut into the wood and stuck there. A gleam of delight came into Snotlout's shark-like little eyes.
"Kill the pig-nostril, jellyfish-hearted, wart-covered bully, Hiccup!"
shouted Humongous helpfully from the sidelines.
Scratch his eyes out! Tear his wings off! Go for his horns!
Squealed Toothless, flapping around, getting in the way. Snotlout, your axe is real! Shouted Hiccup.
That's not my fault! Snarled Snotlout. Everybody here saw your precious bodyguard give it to me, so nobody's going to blame me!
And he yanked at the axe to get it out of Hiccup's shield. Gobber was out of earshot, too busy yelling at Tough Nut Jr.
That is an axe, for Thor's sake, Tough Nut, not a wooden spoon nor a knitting needle.
Humongous, help, shouted Hiccup.
You're doing a great job,
shouted Humongous, giving an encouraging and graceful thumbs up.
Keep up the good work. I think I saw tears in the snotty baby's eyes just then. Don't forget the flash thrust. It works just as well in axe work. Anyone, help, cried Hiccup.
Fishlegs dropped his wooden axe and ran away from his fight with Clueless.
Humongous, do something! That's a real axe Snotlout's got there!
There's no cause for alarm, said Humongous calmly,
as Snotlout dragged his axe out of Hiccup's shield, yanked the shield out of Hiccup's hands, and raised the shiny metal blade above his head.
Hiccup has the situation completely under control. He's just lulling this thug into a false sense of security.
Are you a total moron? Raged Fishlegs. Hiccup is about to die!
Snotlout brought the wickedly sharp axe down towards Hiccup. Hiccup raised his own wooden axe up above his head to try and protect himself, and the metal axe just cut right through it, so that it split in two and fell to the floor. The metal axe continued on down towards Hiccup's chest. Hiccup closed his eyes, waiting for the blow, and in the nick of time, Humongous drew his own axe from his waist belt with lightning swiftness, and he lopped Snotlout's axe off at the base so that the metal end fell harmlessly to the ground, while Toothless and Fishlegs dragged Snotlout backward by the seat of his trousers. Snotlout's trousers split from top to bottom, and Snotlout fled from the scene, half naked, followed by the loud laughter of his fellow students. I'm afraid that Vikings have rather a basic sense of humour, and one of their number getting his trousers removed was just the kind of simple joke that really amused them.
Ha 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 ha!
Chuckled the hooligan boys, leaning on their axes.
I'm sorry, Hiccup, said Humongous, helping Hiccup up.
Thank you, gasped Hiccup, with a sigh of relief.
What are you thanking him for?
Squeaked Fishlegs in irritation.
He's an idiot. An idiot with style, but still an idiot.
Shut up, Fishlegs. He saved my life for the second time, didn't he? Said Hiccup. Humongous looked uncomfortable. The very next day, Hiccup was on his way to his Taking Money with Menaces lesson with Fishlegs. Humongous had wandered off a bit further up the mountain.
"I've packed," Fishlegs was arguing. "I think we should leave. You heard what Humongous said. That volcano is going to blow any minute."
"We can't just leave the rest of the tribe here to get exterminated," Hiccup replied anxiously. "We have to persuade them somehow to come too." Fishlegs was just answering that there was no way they were going to be able to persuade the hooligans to do anything of the sort, because they were all too chronically stupid to understand the peril of the situation, when a large boulder mysteriously detached itself from the blackened hillside above. It came crashing down towards Hiccup and would have squashed him entirely, and that would have been the end of Hiccup, if Humongous hadn't called out from above at the last minute, "Look out below!" Hiccup and Fishlegs flung themselves to the left and the right, and the rock came crashing down in between the two of them.
"Oh, for Thor's sake! Oh, for Thor's sake! Oh, for Thor's sake!"
gasped Fishlegs, sprawled on the ground and looking up at the dust cloud stirred up by the gigantic stone that had nearly killed them both.
"It's a sign, don't you see? It's a sign from Woden that we really ought to be getting out of here. I'm going to go and check my packing again."
"Sorry, guys," said Humongous, hurrying down from the mountain above. "My foot slipped and I must have knocked off a little bit of rock. Are you all right?"
"Well, we're still three-dimensional, and thank you for asking," replied Fishlegs sarcastically. "Oh, how I wish I had a nice smart bodyguard all of my very own to chuck rocks at me and send me unarmed into one-to-one combat with teenage psychopaths."
It seemed that perhaps Fishlegs might be right about the signs, however, because all these misfortunes, one after another, seemed rather foreboding. Only the very next day, after the rock incident, Hiccup was sitting down to a supper of oysters with his father. Humongous the bodyguard was standing to attention behind Hiccup's chair. Toothless was underneath the very same chair, quietly gobbling up an entire chicken that he'd nicked from the larder. Stoic had finished his oysters before Hiccup had even started his, and was looking at his son's oysters, his mouth watering. His hands reached out for a particularly plump one, and Humongous shouted out, "Don't eat that oyster!" Stoic looked at Humongous with royal disapproval. This guy was going too far this time. He'd got the whole hooligan tribe all decked out like girlies, and now he was trying to tell Stoic what to eat.
"I shall eat whatever oyster I like," roared Stoic the Vast, bringing the oyster up to his mouth.
Humongous reached out and made a grab for the oyster. Stoic the Vast hung on in fury. There was an undignified scuffle, and Humongous had to swallow the oyster himself to prevent Stoic from eating it.
"Right, that's it," boomed Stoic the Vast.
Rather relieved, actually, to have hit on an excuse to sack the irritatingly perfect Humongous.
"You're fired!"
Humongous finished swallowing.
"Bad oyster. Very bad oyster," he gulped. "I could tell just by looking at it."
"Wow," gasped Hiccup. "He just saved your life now, Father. He ate the bad oyster that you would have eaten. What a hero."
"Oh, yes, very good,"
mumbled Stoic gruffly, thinking, just by looking at it, who is this maddening Superman? "So he's not fired, is he, Father?" said Hiccup anxiously.
"No, I guess not,"
said Stoic, thinking curses. "In fact, perhaps you should give him a medal or something. Are you feeling all right, Humongous? You're looking awfully green."
"I think perhaps I should just have a little lie down for a moment, you know,"
said Humongous, and he staggered out of the room, leaning on Hiccup's shoulder with Hiccup chattering all the time. "That was so brave, Humongous. And how could you tell it was bad? Is it like mushrooms or something? I do hope you're going to be all right." Stoic pushed the oysters moodily away from him. He had quite lost his appetite. Humongous was thoroughly ill for the next 2 days, which was just fine as far as Stoic was concerned. During this time, all the other tribes began to arrive at the meeting, which the Vikings called the Thing, held to celebrate the midsummer festival known as Sun's Day Sunday. The Bog Burglars, the Meatheads, the Peaceables, the Grimbods, the Basham Oiks, the Silence and the Glums, the Terrormongers, and the Frothy Fists. Everybody, in fact, apart from the outcasts, the rude boys and the lava louts, who were a totally lost cause. Soon, Hooligan Harbour was absolutely crammed with Viking ships, and the tiny island of Berk was jam-packed with tents of all colours of the rainbow. Market traders had set up shop in the sweltering, baking heat, trading shipfuls of stuff, from octopus lollipops to hunting bugles to open-toed sandals to dragon-skin booties for your Viking baby who has everything. The night before Sun's Day Sunday, Hiccup lay awake in the suffocating warmth for what seemed like ages and ages, as floating in through the window came the sounds of the Basham Oiks and the Bog Burglars partying and the shriek and scratch of dragon fights. Down at Hiccup's feet, Toothless lay awake too, his claws stuck into his ears, wriggling and complaining. So, wafting up in a muffled way from underneath the sheet, came the sound of,
"It's ridiculous, ridiculous, barbarians, humans, so noisy, so selfish."
But after a while, the bedclothes fell silent, and the only sign of Toothless's presence was a warm little mound at Hiccup's feet that gently rose and fell, and the odd, soft, sleep-filled murmur of,
"It's ridiculous,"
accompanied by a little indignant smoke ring that crept out from under the sheet. Hiccup watched the smoke rings as they rose up to the ceiling or drifted slowly out the window into the sultry, star-crammed night, and eventually he, too, fell asleep. He dreamt uneasily of fire and omens and dragons with talons like swords that pursued him through the hot, feverish night. In the middle of the night, Hiccup woke up with a silent scream. There, standing beside the bed, stood the terrible figure of Humongously Hotshot, standing over Hiccup like an executioner, his two swords raised, poised to come down on Hiccup, his head in darkness. He was muttering to himself loudly in a voice that was awful to hear.
"Should I do it? Should I not? Should I do it? Should I not?"
"What are you doing?" asked Hiccup in terror. "Bardyguard, stop! What are you doing? Humongous! Humongous!" Humongous appeared not to hear him. He went on talking to himself in that awful voice over and over again. Something about a promise he had to keep. He was wearing the hood of his fire suit rolled down so you couldn't see his face or his eyes, which made it more awful still, and the moonlight glittered on the razor-sharp metal of his swords. It was a dreadful moment. Humongous's hands were shaking. He brought them down. He stopped them.
"I should not," said Humongous, with decision.
Something shot out from the sheet and bit Humongous heavily on the thigh with sharp, sleepy little gums. Humongous let out a cry of pain and dropped one of his swords on his foot.
"It's ridiculous,"
snorted Toothless, sleep flapping round the room for a bit.
"Can't the dragon get any sleep around here? You humans, so noisy, so selfish, keeping poor Toothless awake all night."
Toothless then crawled back under the covers and dropped off to sleep again. Hiccup leapt out of bed, grabbing his sword from his scabbard as he did so. Humongous hopped around the room, holding his foot and his thigh.
"Oh, oh, ow, 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 ow," cried Humongous.
The moment had passed. All the fight had gone out of Humongous. He peeled off the hood of his fire suit, and now that Hiccup could see him in the moonlight, he didn't look scary anymore. He was still rather green from his illness, and he looked very tired.
"I can't do it," said Humongous. "I gave my solemn hero's promise that I would kill you. But I can't do it. It doesn't feel right."
"So you mean," said Hiccup in astonishment, "you're my bodyguard, and you've been trying to kill me?"
"That's right," said Humongous. "I made a promise."
Hiccup gave a slightly hysterical laugh. Somehow, it was very like Stoic to accidentally hire a bodyguard who was supposed to be looking after his son, but was, in fact, trying to kill him. "But who did you promise to kill me for?" whispered Hiccup. "And why?" Humongously Hotshot sighed.
"I see I will have to tell you my story," he said.
and in the quiet, stifling darkness of the night time, for even the bog burglars and the bashamoiks had fallen asleep by now, Humongous the Bardyguard began to tell his tale.